Good afternoon, everyone. It's John Gomez with episode 5 of Trial Files, where real personal injury survivors talk with their real personal injury lawyers. And so our podcast is one in which real people who have suffered personal injury found the need to find a lawyer to help them with that process, hire Gomez trial attorneys, and then go through the process, and we have them kind of discuss that journey with us. And so today, we're joined by a very special guest. We're very excited to have him, and that is Jason Gilbert. Jason, thanks for being here. If you could just tell our audience a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, what you do, your family, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Thank you, John. And I'm here, I'm able to be here in large part because of you and the phenomenal work that your firm has done, which I'm going to talk about here as we go. I guess first, let me start off a little bit talking a little bit about how the accident that I and my daughter endured that brought us to you. And then we can, if it's okay, I'll share a little bit with the experience that we had, which was just 5-star A-plus all the way. So I picked up my daughter, Alexa, 22 years old, who had just flown in from Italy and landed at LAX on Thanksgiving Eve. And that was because she was an exchange student from UCLA going to school overseas. And we managed to get a flight where she could come in and we could have Thanksgiving. So I picked her up. And as we were driving home on I-405 from LAX to San Diego, our home, we collided head on with a pickup truck with the lights off at night. I barely have any memory of it, just a split second right before and right after this full speed crash, because there was really no time to hit the brakes. And as it turned out, you know, and I'll give a little detail here in a minute about the fact that the driver was, as you might have guessed, intoxicated, and then, as we found out later, fled the scene. But the reason I'm skipping that, and I'll come back to it, is because we were then impacted probably, we think, about 10 seconds later from behind by the same type of pickup truck, a Chevy Silverado, which hit us at full speed. Driver apparently told the police, according to the report, that he was rubbernecking, not paying attention, and never hit the brakes. His computer confirmed that with your forensic analysis, and he just hit us at full speed from behind. So after the first collision, and my memory was, what just happened? You know, how do you just run into something solid in the middle of the interstate? And I was trying to figure out, did I run into a construction site? Was I, you know, because it was dark and everything. And so that, as I'm trying to figure out, okay, are we alive? What just happened? I'm checking on Alexa. Are you okay? And, you know, airbags had deployed and everything. There's, you know, smoke and that immediate aftermath of the accident, then we were hit from behind. And I have no memory of that because it knocked me out. I had traumatic brain injury as a result. I woke up in the hospital weeks later. Alexa had 9 broken ribs, both clavicles, collarbones snapped in half, 18 pins in each one, broken scapula, which is a back, the worst, the hardest bone to break and heal in the body, collapsed lung, and a ruptured aorta, which is a death sentence 90% of the time when it happens, which is usually in car accidents. It's what killed Princess Diana. But we heard the word miracle quite a lot in the hospital, which, when the medical professional, they see everything. When they say the word miracle, you know, they're the last people to say it. And we heard it quite a bit. In my case, I woke up weeks later and, you know, wasn't really sure what had happened. Brain wasn't really functioning properly. I couldn't see that well. I saw two of everything. And they weren't sure if I was going to walk again, talk again, or eat again. But I was able to pass the swallowing test and over time and start eating or start talking first and then eating. And then actually was able to walk before I got out of the hospital. You know, I was in a walker for a while. So that was really profound. And in fact, you know, they had actually surgically implanted a feeding tube into my stomach because that's required when you are sent to a 24/7 nursing facility where they take care of you constantly. And that's what they were prepared to do. And then they came in and said, "What are you still doing here? You can go home. Wow. You know, why are you still here?" So, and I said, "What about this thing?" When they said, "You know, you come back in a few weeks and it's too soon to pop it out now." Yeah.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
You come back later and we get that thing out of there. So that was, very profound. And the first thought in my memory, when I woke up and realized, okay, you know, I've been in this bad accident and I'm somehow alive, was, okay, God, whatever your will is, you know, you've obviously got something important in mind. So just point the direction, you know. And but as far as my daughter, Alexa, she was in a separate hospital. To this day, we don't yet know why we were taken to different hospitals, but I'm glad we were, because I got good care where I was. And she had the heart surgeon save her life where she went with that ruptured aorta. So she, in the ambulance, they could tell she had a ruptured lung. And here's the tough part with her. She was conscious through both collisions. She Wow. remembered all of it, and waited for the ambulance to come, and then was banging on the window to make sure that they – because she knew it was a multi-car pileup, and she wanted them to know, hey, we're alive, you know, like come see us. Even though the car, and you've seen the pictures, the VW Jetta, pretty solid sedan, four-door sedan. People look at the photos now and say, is that a Mini Cooper? Because it was smashed into a tiny little box. And the back seat came up and hit me in the head. I mean, there's no trunk. It's totally flat. It looks like a tiny little Mini Cooper. So the back seat, you know, hit me in the back of the head. That's what knocked me out, gave me brain injury. But that the G-forces is what ripped Alexa's heart open. And normally, statistically, it's a 90% fatality. I was telling a ICU nurse just over the 4th of July, Alexa and I were healthy enough to fly back to Virginia where I grew up and where she was born. But I was talking to an ICU nurse and I told her we'd survived this near-death accident and given her some of these details. And she was going, like, yeah, I see this all the time. And then I said ruptured aorta. And she said, she survived? She's alive? She's like, no one ever lives. She goes, we had one guy who was in the hospital already, and he had a ruptured aorta, and we managed to save him because he was already there and because I had a blood pressure thing on him, and I detected it right away, or he would have had no chance. She's like, how did she survive? She had to survive the ambulance ride and then wait an hour for the on-call heart surgeon to come in on Thanksgiving Eve. You know, at this point, it's 3 a.m. or whatever. So fortunately, he got there and she somehow survived until he did the emergency heart surgery, gave her 3 units of blood and a titanium stent, which is, you know, in her heart now and for the rest of her life. She's young. She recovered a little bit faster than me as far as getting out of the hospital. But she's been in a lot of pain with the broken bones, the ribs, the clavicles, the back. And she and I have gone through a lot of physical therapy. It was three times a week for a long, long time. In my case, and I still have like a partial paralysis from the legs, from the hips down, balance issues, things like that, with the brain injury and with the legs. But I'm not in a wheelchair anymore.
Right.
I'm not on a walker anymore. You know, I can walk on my own. So we're very blessed and grateful for that physical therapy. Hey, people say, how are you doing? I say, I'm getting better every month because it's a very slow process.
The funny thing is, I won't see you for a while and then I see you. And that's what I see, that dramatic change.
Right, right.
Whereas for you, you probably, don't see those gradual changes that add up over time. So like you look so much better than the last time I saw you. And you look so much better back then than the time before.
Right, the first time.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. First time I came in to discuss the case, I was in a walker, using a walker to hobble around.
Let me ask you this before you go on. So you wake up in the hospital like 3 weeks later, and I imagine you're thinking to yourself, where's my daughter? What happened to her? Do you remember when someone told you, oh, she's alive and she's over here and she's doing
that? That is a great question. Here's what I was told by, because my parents couldn't come because they're in Virginia and my mom has Parkinson's. My father's taking care of her. But my three adult brothers came. They each spent a week with me. And then now they tell me all the stories. Here's what you did. Here's what you said. And they said every time I woke up and was groggy and under all the medication and so forth, was I was asking, how's Alexa?
Oh, okay.
Is she alive? And they would say, yes, but she's in the hospital. And I didn't have the memory. They kept having – every time they told me that news, I went, oh, my God, is she okay? Is she alive? And they would say, yes, she's alive, And I'd say, oh, gosh. And I would – conk back.
And then they would repeat it the next time.
Exactly. So over and over, like my memory was, and it's nothing like that. I mean, it's glitchy now. But with a brain injury, I mean, you can have severe brain damage and, be a vegetable for life, or it can heal close to completely. But so I'm very blessed in that I'm able to talk, the speech therapy and all of that, been able to improve my speech. And like I said, it's mainly just balance issues. And it aged me. That's what it did. I came out of the hospital 90-year-old. Over time I've healed. I've gotten to 80 and probably at about 70 now. And then one of the other memories in the hospital was my phone call with you, because my father had called and said that we have an attorney. And because I've worked, I've had attorneys as clients. I've helped them with their branding and their marketing. And so I know how to assess a good attorney from, a not so good attorney. So I asked my father, I said, well, how did you pick this? He said, oh, it's John Gomez. He said, Jason, I work with attorneys for a living. And so I asked these other attorneys around the country. And I even asked one who handles cases like this. And he said, get Gomez. He said, so you came highly recommended from his highly credible sources, fellow attorneys. And then when we spoke on the phone, I remember asking you just to learn about you. And that's when I learned that that you were ranked number one in San Diego. And now I knew that law firms that I've worked with before, out of the country and in the country, there are different ranking systems. And you can kind of game the system.
Sure.
So when I asked you, okay, well, what ranking? Because, I'm not naturally skeptical, but I know how to verify what's real and what isn't. And so when I asked you what is this ranking, and then you inform me it's the other attorneys. That to me is the best. When the other attorneys are ranking you number one consistently, year over year. Now, of course, I went and verified all this afterwards. You know, I looked online and it was all very true. And then I was pleased to see on top of that, you were top 10 U.S. News and World Report nationwide. Now, I didn't even know that the U.S. News had – I knew that everybody knows they ranked the colleges, right, and the universities. But I didn't know that they ranked the attorneys until then. And then I saw you were top 10. And then when I went to the website, and I encourage anyone listening, go to the website. It's so impressive. Not just the track record of positive outcomes. And by the way, I haven't even gone into that. I've just talked about rankings. I mean, really what matters is what is the outcome going to be as a client? And I can tell you my case, but I can tell you also – some others as well. But anyone can go and see on the website for themselves. Basically, if you go to trial, you win. And as a result, because you are in the top 5% of most successful winning law firms in these personal injury cases, most insurance companies do not want to take that chance or that risk of that financial loss. So they just settle. And that's what happened in our case. And our case was complicated, as you pointed out, because you've got, you know, we had these two full speed collisions and you said, hey, they're going to point fingers at each other and blame each other and all of that. But because of your firm's reputation and the just unbelievable professionalism of the attorney assigned to our case, they just settled. And we couldn't have been happier with the settlement. And when I say they, it's we had to deal with both insurance companies.
Right.
So instead of, I mean, you know, if we were with another law firm, we would have had the two defendants pointing fingers at each other and could have ended up with no settlement, no compensation. And the compensation is important. Our hospital bills were close to $1 million. And unfortunately, in California, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the legal expert, but the medical and healthcare insurance, they get to recoup some of that if you get a settlement.
Right.
And so if you know, it's like we say in business, it's not what you make, it's what you keep.
Exactly.
If there's a big settlement, you only have crumbs, so what? And your expert team was able to negotiate a very as favorable as possible settlement with the money that they are entitled to go. They took a big discount, a big reduction off of the sum of money that they are legally allowed to recoup. And again, that's a credit to your team. So it's not just winning in court, which you do. Hopefully, or most of the time, people don't have to go to court because your firm is so good at settling. And then when you settle, you get the most that you can get. So it's like this is how you really rate a law firm. It's not about just winning cases. It's about getting the highest settlement and then keeping the biggest portion of the settlement as possible. And so if a ranking existed for each of those, it would be A, you know, five star. So I don't know what other law firm can really bring that to the table, but that was my personal experience. And I'm not surprised based on what I was told before that we started, and then also after going to the website and seeing a lot of the other cases that you've handled. If correct me if I'm wrong, John, but I believe one of your cases was like the largest personal injury settlement in U.S. history, something like, or against an automaker, Toyota, I believe.
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, that was a hallmark case, a leading case, a big case, and one that really resulted in a lot of changes. You know, and it was a case that we were pleased to be involved with. We represented Mark Saylor and his family, who was the CHP officer who died when their Lexus vehicle accelerated without him pressing upon the accelerator. And that case really was the case that led to the largest recall in Toyota history. And just like you guys, just great clients, great people, just such a pleasure and privilege to represent them. But yeah, you make a great point, Jason. You know, a lot of people don't know, one, just by virtue of hiring a personal injury lawyer, the data says that on average, a consumer will recover four times as much, you know, but then, you know, we tend to think that we're a little better than most personal injury lawyers. So we believe that the multiplier is much higher than that. But what a lot of people don't realize, and you pointed it out so aptly, is there's a lot of work that goes on the back end too, with a health insurance company, for example, in your case, is saying, look, we paid out $1 million. We should get $1 million back. And we say, hey, hold on, insurance company, you know, if that happens, then, you know, our clients are going to walk away with nothing or next to nothing or less than they should. So, yeah, negotiating on the back end with healthcare providers and other entities seeking to take that settlement money is a big part of what we do. So, yeah, thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, and something else people should know, too, that I was pleasantly surprised, and I don't know if this is typical or maybe it's just a kind of a Cadillac features of your law firm, but I, you know, when you're in all this pain and recovering and just miserable, last thing you want to deal with is bill. You get all these hospital bills in the mail, and the insurance company, my insurance company is a pain in the butt, you know, to deal with. And you guys took care of all that too. It was like, no, we'll handle your bills. We'll contact all the medical, but you know, it was, you know, just such a time-saving and emotional weight lifted off of our shoulders. I mean, it was tough enough having to go, especially with Alexa. She had to go through a lot of therapy and all that because she had essentially PTSD from this, and loud noises and, you know, just being in the car again and all that was difficult. And the last thing I really needed to deal with was this deluge of bills saying, oh, you need to pay this. And I didn't know what was real and what wasn't. And your team just took it all on and contacted everybody and made sure that, you know, the right ones were paid. But if someone wasn't due something, that it wasn't. And then money that was owed to us, you know, that the insurance company was supposed to provide for our personal property, because we had thousands of dollars of things destroyed in the car. You know, my computer was literally bent in half. And it's a museum piece now in a San Diego computer store.
Wow.
They have, because it's a MacBook, and it's like a U-shape now.
Wow.
You know? That the guy that hit us from behind hit us so hard that it did that. And it you know, damaged a lot of other stuff. So yeah, we got we had to get that insurance claim and then lost wages and things like that were all handled. And then things crop up later. Here we are. It's been a year, almost 2 years, and we still have little things pop up. And your team is like, we got it. We're handling it. And so that, you know, I'm thinking, oh, it's over and we can relax now. And then some little cobra pops up and they're like, yeah, don't worry about it. We're taking care of it. So that's just another thing. I mean, who would think, you know, if you were to go and interview or ask an attorney before you retain them, you wouldn't even think about any of that stuff. So that's why I wanted to sit down with you today and just, you know, put this out there so that people that might be trying to consider who they should work with. And of course, the fee structure is that they have no risk. You know, the risk is if they go to the wrong firm, they end up with a worse outcome. They could end up, as I found out, and I didn't realize this either, you could end up owing money. If you end up in court and you don't have a favorable outcome, you could end up owing money, even if you're the one who should be receiving compensation. That blew me away. And of course, because we came here to you, we didn't have to go to court because, like I said earlier, when you're in the top 5%, like you are the insurance companies don't want to go to court. They just settle, which is what happened in our case. So, for all of those reasons, and you know, the only frustrating thing, which is because it's out of your control, was the fact that the driver, the drunk driver, he failed the sobriety test, but he fled the scene. And then when they caught him and arrested him, he failed the sobriety test and he just got a slap on the wrist instead of.
Because it had been too long since he was behind the wheel for them to scientifically say he was under the influence of the time.
So basically,
he was rewarded for.
Yeah, he said, he could have said he went to a bar and drank or something. And usually fleeing a scene is a thing too, but a problem. But he got a probation and a small fine, and that was it. But I remember telling you when we first sat down in that meeting we had, which I really appreciate you doing, because when we came into the office, I was so impressed. We sat down with you. And we were with your team. You put a whole team in there. I was like, I didn't know we get a team. This is great. When I came in here, it reminded me of Suits. I said, this is the real life Suits. You're in this high rise, except in Suits, when they look out, they see Manhattan. Here, you look out the window and you see the harbor. But the boardroom, everything looks the same. And what's even better than the show Suits, if anybody didn't know what I'm talking about, was the number one rated show on TV for years, about a hotshot law firm law firm in Manhattan, is they would practice their courtroom trials scooting the furniture around, and one person would pretend to be a judge and so forth. Mm. And here you built a courtroom in your office. Like, you don't scoot furniture around. Like, you are the real deal. And so I'm like, this is like Suits, but even better. So to be represented by that caliber of law firm and not have any risk or expense up front and to have the best possible outcome is really a dream come true. So I'm just super grateful that we survived the accident, that we've been able to recover, and recovery continues to go well, and just very grateful that we were in your care.
Yeah, it was our complete privilege and honor to represent you and Alexa. You had talked about this team that you had, and as I recall, it was me and Jessica and Kayla and Amy and Jackie. You know, give us your impressions of the rest of the team, working with them every day.
Yes. I mean, Jessica, the lead attorney, just phenomenal. And I would ask a lot of tough questions. And I would run strategy by her at times because, you know, I come from a business background and I've worked with a lot of attorneys. And it's never black and white. You know, there's in the business world, you have the legal answer and then you have the business answer, and sometimes what you do is somewhere in between. So I would run these ideas by Jessica, and I would think, hey, this is a great idea, why don't we do this? And she would say, no, you know what, what works better is this, and here's why, you know, here's the track record and I mean, she really knew her stuff. So while I threw a lot of curveballs at her, she just stayed so professional, even keeled the whole time, made really good judgment, but most important, like, was the outcomes. And then Kayla, her attorney, who's also an attorney, her assistant, and Yeah, the whole team was, and Jackie just on the ball. I could send an email or just say, hey, if I call Jessica on her cell phone, she answers. If I email, I get to anybody, to Jessica, Kayla, Jackie, I get a response. It's just like super responsive and I get the information I need. There's no, and I'm telling you, I'm dealing with other attorneys on other matters and I'm like, I have to like hound them. I have to call them and email them. And then I'm not the guy who wants to be confrontational, but then I have to like threaten. And until I threaten, then I hear an answer. Like that never been the case. And this is, going on almost 2 years consistently. And I can honestly say, go back and say, yeah, it was good, except for this, there were these little hiccups, no hiccups, zero. Oh,
beautiful.
So I'm, if you put me under oath right now, maybe raise my hand, I would do it because everything I'm saying is 100,000% true. And I hope that's getting across to anybody who's listening. And I hope that John Gomez and his amazing team of lawyers and legal assistants, paralegals, and so forth can benefit you in the way they've benefited me and my daughter and my family. My family's grateful to you too, John, as well, because it was, very traumatic. And this just, we would still be in a really bad place right now if we didn't have Gomez on our side.
So awesome to hear. Thank you for your kind words. And, we're really happy that you guys are doing great. How's Alexa doing? We heard, kind of your recovery. How's she doing?
She's doing well. She hasn't had any, she had a 1 year heart, some kind of gram, something gram, I forgot, cardiogram. Right,
cardiogram, yeah.
And that showed that the stent had moved and it was good. And, she's got a lot of scars and she's still got pins sticking out of her collarbones like Frankenstein. But that's, if that's the worst of it, she's still got a little pain here and there. We have physical therapy Monday and the physical therapy has just been helping quite a lot. So she's doing well and she's back on track now for her career. She wants to become an attorney, as you know. Should I talk about that at all? Or?
Yeah, I think that'd be cool to hear about.
Okay.
So wait, before you do that, we have Miranda here.
Yeah.
Who's a guest and with us today. And Miranda works with us as kind of our community outreach director and helps us with this podcast. So, Miranda, have you ever met this young person by the name of Alexa Gilbert?
I have. I have had the privilege of meeting Alexa. She's awesome.
Like, how do you know her?
Well, she works here now. We brought her onto our team.
Yeah, she's awesome. So, yeah, talk about her and her plans, if you would, Dad, and, like, what's going on in her life.
Yes. So, when this accident happened, she was a semester away from graduating UCLA. She was on a full tuition scholarship there, double major, trying to graduate in 3 years versus the normal four. And she was on track. Then the accident happened. And then because she couldn't go back to Italy and finish, which, was probably a blessing in disguise anyways because of the COVID pandemic. And it was like really bad there in Northern Italy. She was at, University of Bologna, the top ranked U.S. Wow. News, number one in Italy or Europe or whatever. So she couldn't go back. So they let her finish. So she's in the hospital doing her classes online. Then she still had to finish in UCLA. She goes back a week late because of her injuries. And she's on rides around on the disabled bus and limps to class and grinds it out, finishes. And then she's always wanted to go to law school. And I remember when we were in that meeting and you said, this is going to be a complicated case. They're going to blame each other. And she said, put me on the stand. I've got the whole case, figured out. And she went down the list and here it is. And then I recall your response was like, do you want to be a lawyer? Would you like to intern? She said, yes. And you said, would you like to intern here? And so that, and then she said yes to that, of course. And so she's been interning here, and it's just been a wonderful experience. And I know she wants to go to Harvard or Yale Law. You're a Yale Law graduate. And again, I keep referring to the U.S. News ranking. Yale Law, if anybody looks it up, is the number one law school in the country on that rank. And for years, everyone thinks Harvard, but no, Harvard is in two or three. Yale is number one. You're a Yale Law grad, and maybe Alexa will be there next, and we'll see. But yeah, she's having a great experience here.
Wow, that would be cool, I'll tell you. Yeah, she is as smart as can be. Her and really hardworking and super cool. We really love having her around. Her team just raves about her, just this crazily creative problem-solving mind of hers. And if you think about it, you know, I would be beyond ecstatic if any of my kids even like got admitted to UCLA. UCLA is so hard to get into like today. And to get a full ride and be on the verge of graduating in 3 years, like she has a lot of brain power, like a lot. She is at a very, very high level.
She didn't get it from me, but it's there for sure.
Oh man, yeah. Is it ever.
Yep.
And she's so nice, kind and cool, and just everyone loves her around here. And if she gets into Yale, then we're all going to go back and move her in. I think that would be so cool to be back in New Haven. And so fingers crossed that that happens for her. But, you know, regardless of where she ends up, you know, I'm certain she's going to have a flourishing career in the law and an amazing life and really make a difference for people. She also has a very kind and compassionate heart. She's a great, great, great person. So you did good, Dad. Mm. Well done.
I'm very blessed, very, very blessed for sure. And just, like I said, grateful that she lived through it. And now, you know, here we are, and she's here in the firm, which is just amazing.
So tell us this, you know, we've talked and we're nearing the end here, and you've been unbelievable, just unbelievable guest. You've talked about as you get through this, you know, what you do in terms of finding the best legal help or the best legal representation. You know, some people that are hurt bad or have family members that are facing difficult circumstances or injuries, you know, may be on the verge of losing hope or being, you know, very depressed or very sad or just, you know, how did you just personally get through this time, you know, with all the struggles that you were facing and worrying about your daughter? You know, setting aside the legal stuff, you know, what advice would you give to people in similar circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Number one is having good people around you to support you helps quite a bit. So family, and then of course legal, like we've been talking about here on the podcast, would be the top two in a situation like that. And not everybody has the family support that they probably should have. And but the legal support is a choice. And so, you know, and you guys are like family. And I think if anybody wants, you know, not just professional legal representation that gets results, but then to feel like they're part of a family and treated like family, that goes a long, long way. And then on top of that, just, you know, prayer and faith in God, because that's always been strong with us. And we knew from, like I said, the first thing when I woke up in the hospital was, okay, and was hearing miracle. And then with my daughter having a miracle survival with the ruptured heart and all of that. So just being grateful instead of being miserable. Yeah, we're in a lot of pain, but always focus on what is, you know, good in every situation. There's good and there's bad. And if you dwell on the negative, then it just drowns out the positive. And we would just focus on the positive. You know, what I build orphanages and support orphanages and schools for orphans in Africa. And then, you know, even though we've been through, if we were in an accident down there, there's no Gomez down there. There's no settlements. I mean, you're just injured and you just live with it. And that's, you know, if you're lucky enough to get food that day, or you're not killed in a war, or what, you know, whatever. I mean, someone, no matter how bad your situation is, someone somewhere, actually probably a lot of people, millions, maybe billion, have it a lot worse than you do. So focus on the positive. Think about write them down. Say, here are the positive aspects about my situation today, directly or indirectly. You know, the things that you're grateful for, the things that are of value to you. And then write down the negative. And then say, what can I do to turn those negatives into positives? And in some cases, that's going to be a legal answer. That's where they come to you. And that you will help them cross those negative things off the list, because it's within your skill set. I'm living proof of that. There's nobody better in the country than you that can do it. So if anyone listening has the opportunity to engage John Gomez and his amazing team, I highly recommend it.
Well, thank you, Jason. I'm almost blushing over here with your kind words. Really, really appreciate it. Really appreciate you and Alexa. And I'm so happy we had the opportunity to work with you guys and help you and get to know you and remain, like you said, friends and family with you. And so I can't think of a better way to end things. I really like that, you know, the positive and negatives about any situation, writing them down the way you did. And so I'll probably be doing that some myself. So I thank you for that advice. Thank you for the inspiration of faith. We have a once weekly prayer group and Bible study today. And today we dove into Psalm 23 a little bit, you know, which is all about, you know, finding comfort in faith, even in sometimes challenging or scary times. And so, thank you, Jason. Thanks, Miranda. This concludes episode 5 of Trial Files, where real personal injury survivors talk to their real trial lawyers. I'm John Gomez of Gomez Trial Attorneys. To learn more about our firm, visit thegomezfirm.com. I think Jason talked about the website. That's where you can find it. And you can always call us at 833-GET-GOMEZ. And so if you're out there, you know, dealing with a personal injury or a tough situation, we encourage you to hang in there. And if you need help in the legal process, please contact us or call us. We'd be pleased to help.